SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Belmont Park on a absolutely miserable rainy morning. They just will not relent and pouring down rain. Actually, it's given a little bit of a pause here, 9 o'clock, but it kind of made for some last-minute adjustments and changes. Todd Pletcher hoping to get his Belmont runners, his pair, some final work in. This has been just on a unique Triple Crown season thus far. Let it get it out of its system so that next week when the most important racing happens, it'll be okay. Racing here starts at 3 o'clock. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 at our website too, stevevick.com. Sitting in front of me, a real treat, Rich Migliori. Good morning.
Good morning. I got up early, took a ride down, and in the words of the immortal John Neyrud, I'd rather have a bad day at the track than a good day anywhere else. So even though the weather's not cooperating, it's great to be here. And to be honest with you, I was texting with you yesterday while you were on air. I was bugging you. I forgot that you were here on site. So I'm inside talking with Kieran McLaughlin, and I look over, and there you are. So now here I am.
And I'm glad we got a little bit of time to spend before Rich has to go do some XBTV interviews, and a great way to start the weekend preview. And you mentioned Kieran McLaughlin in there. Kieran holds court. Has there ever been a better court holder in that kind of setting than Kieran?
No, I don't think so. It's always great conversation. And it varies. It's not just about horse racing.
Poker must enter into the conversation.
Absolutely, poker. My son Joe qualified for the World Series of Poker again.
And that's right, because he had a nice score. Yep. Was it 18 months ago or eight, last year?
Last year this time. He won a seat at one of the satellite tournaments at Foxwoods. He won the seat in the same tournament this year at Foxwoods, so they pay his entry fee. And so he's going to take another run at it.
Well, has he ever sat across from McLaughlin? Because he's about as deadly a high-level poker player as anybody.
There's a game that they've been a part of. Uh-huh. I'm not going to reveal too many details.
Saratoga.
No, there's one not very far from where we're sitting.
There you go. That too. All right. There's some serious poker, and it can break out at any time.
Absolutely.
Especially on a day like today, because we got a 3 o'clock post. It's this twilight racing, and you may not have realized that. I don't think anybody realized that. Everybody thought that this was not going to start until after the Belmont weekend, but June 1st was the kickoff. So the second, I guess, you know, after today, there'll be one every Friday beyond next week.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was twilight racing today. I mean, I had to come down for XBTV stuff. I wanted to see if I can catch a few interviews. We do have people shooting the works on site, you know, every day. Karen Johnson's out here, Sam, our cameraman, and I was thinking I'd catch a race or two, but I will be back home on the farm before the first race runs.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. And speaking of the works, let me give you just a little bit. Noble Indy this morning put on blinkers, went 5/8 in the mud, Castellano aboard, and Vino Rosso, and under these conditions, you're not going to go full out. You're gonna do what you can, but how frustrating is this for the outfit? You know, when you've got a classic assignment coming up, and you really can't wait. You know, you can be more fluid with, you know, with a regular horse, but with the Saturday horses, you kind of got to stick to the schedule.
Well, you do. I mean, you know, the hope is that most of the heavy lifting's already done, that, you know, you've already got them, you know, pretty much fitness-wise where you want them. Although, obviously, to go a mile and a half, you really don't want any hiccups. You don't want to, you know, miss a beat anywhere. But, in the mud, as long as they get to stretch their legs, you don't want to do anything fancy. You want to keep them balanced and make sure they come home in good order. And that being said, you know, we race in the mud. So, you know, there's two schools of thought about that. You know, some people, Chuck McGee works his horses in the mud.
So, yes, he does.
I just think it's whatever a particular trainer is comfortable with. Todd seems to have a very good handle on how to get horses ready for the Belmont. His record, you know, if you think about, he's got three Belmont wins, and he's about a half a length short of winning three others. I mean, like a nose ahead, a nose.
Don't remind me about Commissioner and Taprit. The year before. The Eclipse horse.
Yeah, I could see the horse. And,
oh, my God.
Listen, I've been hitting the head a lot. I got excuses, you know.
I don't.
No, but think about that. Imagine if Todd had, you know, a couple of those bobs went the other way. You're talking about Woody Stephen-esque type, you know, Belmont Stakes statistics. So, you know, obviously I got to think Vino Rosso is his main danger heading to the Belmont. Noble Indy, you'd have to think he's going to be a pace player, no?
That seems to be what he wants to do. And on that topic, I do want to ask you a wet track question in a minute that you can explain to people, and it'd be a fun topic. But we'll use this segue on works and on the way horses are coming into this race. Watching Justify, we were talking before we came on the air, and of course XBTV and you know, the staff back in California, they're watching and commenting. If you're looking for a signal of a horse that's starting to fray, you didn't see it on Tuesday.
No, when this horse works, he just, you know, you stand there with your mouth open. I mean, he just is as impressive a workhorse as you're ever going to see, that I've ever seen up to this point. He goes fast, but he goes fast easily. You know, it's just things come easy to him. You know, I've been waiting for him to be vulnerable. I picked against him in the Preakness. I picked tenfold and thought at the eighth ball I might look really smart, but he kept finding. I do think he can be a bit vulnerable, you know, going the mile and a half, third start in 5 weeks, you know. The one thing that keeps striking me, though, and I'm impressed with the horse, don't get me wrong, and he would be a deserving Triple Crown winner if he does it, is that it seems like so many people are of the opinion that he's going to do it. And I go, does everybody remember how hard it is to do? I mean, we had 37 years between Affirmed and American Pharoah, and we've seen some really good horses get beat, you know, doing this.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's funny because I get the sense, coming out of Preakness, I had sort of the other extreme in terms of people, you know, basically downplaying his chances, and they crossed the wire, and immediately there came this avalanche of, oh, well, he'll never win the Belmont. Look at how those horses were coming to him.
Head-and-head with the two-year-old champion.
Yeah, for a mile and a 16.
He wasn't head-and-head with just a horse.
Yeah.
He was head-and-head with a really good horse.
Yeah.
And he put him away, and Good Magic was very game. I mean, I think he's a marvelous racehorse. And then here came horses that got better trips than him because he did all the dirty work. And again, it's a different thing. When a horse is hooked up with another quality horse showing speed, that takes a lot out of them. It's not like they're a superior horse against an inferior horse and that they just kind of stroll away from them. And if anything, they kind of bolster up when they get clear of them. This was a fight. I mean, he had to work for it.
There's another topic that we can fold in, and I've been hinting at it, and I, you know, the Express Bet guide did get released, despite the fact that I didn't turn in my entry until 4 o'clock Wednesday. They managed to turn it around, and Johnny Mac the Knife DeSantis had to trim mine because I ended up getting a little wordy, and it's available now at Express Bet, so you can download the guide. Right now, don't wait till noon. Usually it comes out noon or 1. But one of the things I wanted to hint at, and I'll maintain, I suppose, until we see a result here, we talk with Tony every year going into Preakness, given his time at Pimlico. We explain the banking of those turns and how for years everybody called them tight turns. They were never tight. They were just as rounded as Churchill's. But the difference was the banking. Mm-hmm. 8 degrees versus 14 or 15 degrees.
Right.
A horse like Justify on a slick, kind of weird, nobody's talked about it being a drying out track. It stopped raining at 2 o'clock. Now it's 6:30, 6:45. So it's 4 hours since it rained. Big horse. Don't tell me that that horse handled that track as adroitly as he could. And then take into consideration that here, where when you're on the turn here, it looks like a straightaway to a horse.
Yeah.
How is a big horse like that not going to absolutely excel on this oval?
You'd have to think he's going to relish the wide, gentle bank, you know, sweeping turns.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting, too, that, you know, people talk about, well, he handles the mud. Mud's different every place.
Absolutely.
And when it's wet at Churchill Downs, they seal that thing tight like a drum. I mean, they just run over the top of the ground.
And they've got the clay in there that is firmer and gives you footing.
Much, much firmer. And, you know, then you get to Pimlico, and it was drying out. And I thought towards the latter part of the card, the inside started getting just a touch deeper. We were walking back and forth from our set in the infield to, you know, the jockey porch, the winner's circle, the paddock. And you could visibly see, you know, we were making more of an indentation as you got closer to the fence. Now, it wasn't dramatic, but it was something. And I don't think he handled that surface as well. Plus, I think the hard race in the Derby might have showed up a little bit on him on Preakness Day.
Well, Mike Smith also maintains that he knew where the wire was. Certainly,
I'm not buying that. I love Mike. I'm not buying
that. On a wet track, you can hear how close the horses are.
I was in the infield just in about 50 yards past the eighth pole, and he was getting into him pretty hard. I don't think he could have found much more if he needed it. That's what I saw. And listen, he was on him, and I all due respect, and I have, you know, nothing but respect for Mike. I didn't see it that way.
Fair enough. I wanted to ask that wet track question. Next week we'll get into the details. Tuesday, you know, you could have thrown out the first pitch, by the way, but they went with Baffert.
I think he's a little more qualified than me. We'll be on site. We'll be there covering the draw at Citi Field. And actually, I'll be here from Tuesday all the way through the Belmont. I'm not going to go home the rest of the week.
Nice. So. Well, we'll have plenty of opportunity. And who else is going to be local? Who's coming out?
Zoe Cadman will be coming in, as well as Christina Basanakis. So we'll be trying to cover all the works in the morning and get sound from all the competitors and it's going to be pretty exciting.
It's interesting.
Great undercard, too.
Well, you got three. It's amazing. You got three different foreigners for XBTV. You got one from Canada, one from the UK, and you from Brooklyn. So three foreigners covering the Belmont.
There you go. And actually, we're planning on going to dinner at Parkside in Corona, Queens after the City Field.
Oh, you're going to give them the
now
whole.
We're talking.
All right.
Yeah, one word of advice. Great Italian food. Incredible place. Do not get involved in any of the bocce court games in the park across the street because those older Italian guys
hustlers
will fleece you.
Hustle. Hustlers.
They'll say, put up 100 to my 10, and you will never beat them a game.
I wouldn't even try. The bocce to me is I would say close to curling as indecipherable. Just as being, what exactly is going on? Who knows? While on that topic, people that are planning their visit, what else you like food-wise? A couple other pushes.
Oh, well, I mean, I love Parkside, which is, you know, over in Queens. It's great. If you want to go to Brooklyn, there's Gargiulio's in Coney Island. There's Bomonti's in Williamsburg. Both great Italian.
Nice.
Those real old school.
Very
Italian.
Nice. Good job.
I grew
good.
Up going to Gargiulio's like once a month. We would go there on a Sunday as a family. Took my kids there, you know, just for the nostalgic reason. But, the food's never changed. It's just good old school Italian. You know, locally, I'm not as in the loop around here anymore. I mean, if you want to come upstate, I got a few.
No doubt. But those are both good. Gargiulio's and Bomonti's and Parkside and for more nostalgic Spumoni Gardens for the
Spumoni Gardens. I mean, there's great pizza places all over Brooklyn. Yeah. DeFara on East 15th Street and Avenue J. That was right around the corner from where I grew up. Prince of Pizza, obviously Spumoni Gardens. I mean, yeah, there's some great
no
places.
Shortage.
Yeah,
and then of course here I'm gonna, you know, we talk about King Umberto's all the time, and between Ciro and Rosario and their sons, and I'm gonna give you an overflow.
Okay.
Philomena's.
Ah.
Just a couple of blocks further down on Hempstead. Philomena's, if you can't get in for reservation-wise at King Umberto's, go a little further.
Just when you go to make your reservation, tell them Steve Bick told you.
Siaka.
To
you got to use.
My
name carries just a tiny bit of weight. Then comes the hammer.
Was with Gary and his lovely wife Saturday at my niece's wedding, my brother's daughter.
They said they were at a wedding, and they didn't tell me it was.
Yeah, my brother Michael's daughter, Nicole, got married. It was on the beach in West Hampton. It was absolutely beautiful. We had a great time.
They said they went to a wedding in the Hamptons.
Yep, that was my brother's daughter.
How about that? Yeah. Too nice. All right, the got about 3 minutes. I want you to explain to everybody, because I talk about the wagon wheel trail as the water wagon trail, as my late friend Malcolm Soonis used to call it. And I've explained to people that when the trucks come through and they're floating the track, there's going to be a couple of paths where the left wheel and the right wheel of the two tractors, the wheels are going to overlap. And it presses down a certain part of the track. You and Robbie Davis, famously, correct? How do you guys? Is it always in the same place? How do you guys find it? Does it float a little bit during the course of a day, or do you generally know where it's going to be?
No, I mean it's a visual though too. I mean you have a general idea, but when you leave the gate,
you can see the shadow.
It. You can absolutely spot it, and you get on that path. Yeah, you know, there's two schools of thought. If you're on the lead and you can pick whatever path you want, you can get on that good spot and stay there. Or you can kind of wend and throw mud in everybody's face as you go. That was the Tony Black move.
Huh.
You know, just try to, you know, as you go. This way everybody gets some dirt in their face, try to discourage them a little bit. But, yeah, if you could find that path, I don't see guys make as conscious an effort in general anymore to find that path or get on it. But, if we went back and watched replays from the 80s and 90s, and watch head-ons, you would see in muddy tracks, inevitably Robbie or I would be on it.
Yeah.
And, honestly, George Velasquez was probably the first guy that ever opened my eyes to it, because one day I noticed him going
like
to that
spot. Like the four-path, four-and-a-half.
Absolutely. He would go and search. If he broke from the rail, he'd wind up on that. And I go, wow, a guy like George Velasquez
is out there for a reason.
You know, I always said growing up and riding here, you always rode against the best, so it made it tough to get good mounts, but you rode with the best riders, so you learned all the right things. You picked up good habits just being around them.
And I was going to say, did you ever? And that's a great exit question too. How receptive were Angel and Georgie Velasquez and Jacinto Vasquez and the legends that you came behind? How receptive were they to go and say, George, can I ask you a question? How much of that could you do?
Georgie, Eddie Maple, and Mike Venezia were tremendous at offering up advice and if you had a question and treated them respectfully. Angel, not so much. I love Angel, and I have the greatest respect of Angel now, but, riding with him was a whole different story.
The operative word is now.
We get along great now. But he said it himself. If his mother was in the race, he'd shut her off. It wasn't personal. It was, and Jacinto. Well, I love Jacinto. What a character!
He's an original, no doubt about it. And I love it. There's obviously a thousand things I could say. There's Jimmy Toner, a winner yesterday.
One day next week, we'll do it again.
Absolutely. I think it's stay a couple more seconds here as we get out. Let me line up the lineup for everybody. And I sent it out last night. I suppose I should go back and look at it because I'm completely at a loss here. Dave Greinich is going to be here in person. Great. So we'll have Dave. Marty McGee in this hour. James Scully is next. Jim Dunleavy, and we're hoping that this rain, Penn National may have the best car they've ever had.
Yeah, terrific race, the Penn Mile, and Hawkish, son of Artie Schiller,
Jimmy Toner.
And before I go quickly, we lost John Mazzi, cameraman for Nyra, retired. One of the best guys I've ever been around. We used to play football up on the roof here. People don't even know that. But Also, Bill Graves with Fasig Tipton.
I had Boyd yesterday.
Just a guy that was incredibly generous with his time with me, helped me learn the sales side of the game. You know, I grew up in the racing side, but he really went out of his way to help make me feel welcome and learn that side of it as much as possible. And both will be sorely missed.
Well, and both, I mean, just craftsmen. We had Boyd yesterday. If people listened to the replay, they might have heard Boyd this morning about 6:20. And the outpouring of sympathy and appreciation for Bill Graves and what he did for breeders and consigners and ultimately owners, because you know, the people that buy the horses, they end up being a beneficiary of his savvy. And as for Maz, he and I for years had the funniest exchange when he discovered that I had a bit of a talent to do my Sonny Taylor. He and I would do dueling Sonnies.
That's great.
We're going to get the vapors. Back and forth.
We were doing
so
the Dark Day simulcast shows for Naira. He was the camera, me and Ernie Munich, and we'd be in there 5-6 hours straight together. And I brought in a Nerf football one day, and in between, like on commercials and stuff, we'd be throwing the football back and forth. So then it morphed into an actual football on the roof here. If we both had a break, we'd be outside throwing the ball around. Just a great guy. You know, just very sad.
Very sad. And both Graves and Maz, I mean, just without notice and virtually and way too young.
Yep.
Rich Migliori. You follow him at Richard Migliori.
Yeah, somebody took the Mig. I wanted at the Mig, but I couldn't get it.
All right, that's all right. Richard Migliori works. Taking a break, Scully joins us next at the races at Belmont.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
What are most horsemen looking for in their equine athletes? Consistency. It makes the trainers
are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubled man, changed by the things I do. True, but it's funny how they all remember you. And I could be different, time to do something new.
We're back at the races, and a really fun way to start the weekend preview with an impromptu Rich Migliori visit that got rollicking. And speaking of rollicking, after yesterday's Tony Black conversation, where I don't even remember how we ended up talking about the jocks room and the toughest guy in the jocks room, but it absolutely spilled over and stories started to make their way around, some texts and different people, you know, heard and got back. And Harry Rice, who listens before the race day starts, Harry Rice, the longtime valet here, Harry tells me, as it happens, as we were going to the ninth yesterday, and just enough hope, a terrific comeback. Very, even though she, you know, eventually got tired, a very nice comeback for her, off the layoff and getting back on turf, and had never intended to run a mile off the layoff, but that was the race that came up. So she'll be back, I would say, pretty quick, but nice way to get the season going for her turf as a four-year-old. And Nick Zanagata was our valet and the stick, as he's affectionately known. Harry Rice talked about, and Rich Migliori also confirmed, maybe one of the greatest jock room fights in history, which was Nick Zanagata and Miguel Ruano. And known as a five-rounder because five different times separated, or four different times anyway, separated and re-engaging and spilling over in the stewards, in front of the stewards, in front of Judge Burke the next day. So that story is going to get told maybe during the summer. We'll have Nick sit down and tell the story. Too funny. Then I just said to Mig as he was leaving, we were talking and laughing, we're going to have to do a segment. The greatest jock fights ever. I love it. We're supposed to have Scully first this morning, and I know he's on his way back to Lexington. So some of that might enter into it as I talk to Casey. And so we'll go right to Marty McGee instead. And a lot to talk about when it comes to Churchill. The racing today, actually, even before we get to the Saturday card, is just terrific. And this afternoon, you've got that second-level allowance for fillies, the three-year-olds going 7/8, and not one, not two, but three horses that are exiting the Kentucky Oaks. Raya, the UAE Derby runner-up to Mendelsohn and the Oaks winner. She drew the rail and picks up Ricardo Santana Jr. Classy Act is in here for Brett Calhoun. And, of course, she was a late addition to the Oaks and really never got her chance in terms of her interests, which are pace setting. So Classy Act turns back as well. Raya 4-1, Classy Act 2-1. And then you go out to Kelly's Humor, the Brad Cox filly that was one of the three and for the Thrashes. And actually, I the always resourceful and helpful Ron Paolucci, the Looch, listening in and helping out. Raya is scratching out of the fifth race that I, Ronnie, thank you. So just two Oaks exiters that are going to be involved, Kelly's Humor and Classy Act. Divine Mischief coming out as well, Joe Sharp for Breezeasy, and the expensive Into Mischief filly that came out of a nice allowance win. I don't know if she got scared away. So Ron on hand, actually, at the Downs. And we did get through to James Scully, and he turns up. He's on his way back to Lexington after being part of the morning show that is tracking the Churchill Downs-based Belmont runners, most notably the dual classic winner, of course, Justify. And after yesterday's jog around the outside of the track, today did a little bit more a wet track this morning. James Scully, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, he was out there. He schooled in the gate first and then did like one lap, a gallop, and a little bit frisky. Actually bucked for the people going by the stands once. You know, he was under a snug hold. I acted like he wanted to do a little more. But he quickly regained his composure. And, you know, one thing about Justify is he's so, you know, talented horse. But he's really, you know, mentally, he's way beyond his experience to this point.
You mentioned the buck and the sidekick and what I call the hobby horse back and forth. And I saw that actually. And yesterday too, even just walking yesterday, he rocked a couple of times. And there was also that first day back when he came out to the track last week and mm-hmm. same thing going the wrong way. And he sidekicked and kind of hopped. And that is a terrific sign. There's a couple
of
things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no signs of wear or tear. I mean, he's wanting to do more, which is a positive. I think anybody would be hard-pressed to say anything negative to him. I mentioned earlier, you know, Baffert, he does this with his other Triple Crown horses as well. It's his M.O., but he moved his base from Santa Anita to Churchill Downs a week before the Derby, and you know, it's trained for all three races there, and it's been really neat, a pleasure to get a chance to see him in person.
We didn't talk after last week. We talked to Ed, and he'll join us later. But James, your Preakness recap, if you would.
Oh, I was real impressed by Justify. I mean, he, you know, for the first time, you know, he really was tested. And I just thought, you know, good magic, you know, dictated terms from the inside where, you know, nobody else showed speed. Justify has all this natural speed. And when good magic went up to, you know, go with him, you know, he really put him to a test. I mean, he's a real quality horse, good magic is. And, you know, Justify, that was a perfect opportunity for him to, you know, spit the bit in a sense, an upper stretch, and just say, you know, this isn't the way my first four races have gone. But he didn't do that at all. He dug down deep. You know, it's debatable whether those horses were ever going by him, even though they did make it close. And you know, he got tired at the end of it, definitely. But that race there, you know, heightened my sense of appreciation for the horse. And Baffert's talked about it. You know, part of the thing with Justify is coming along, you know, so late in February, and really that first race in February, 6 furlong maiden race, it wasn't until that March 10th or March 11th race that he really started to captivate, you know, people and, you know, as a Derby horse. And you know, that was just 7 weeks before the Kentucky Derby. I mean, the NBA playoffs last longer than that, it seems. And so I just thought, you know, considering the circumstances and being so lightly raced and so inexperienced, I thought it was a tremendous effort. I can see where people, you know, can definitely say, hey, he regressed in a sense. But to me, it was a testament to him. And, you know, he has one race left the Belmont Stakes, and we can talk more about that. But, you know, I liked it. I was impressed.
I'm glad to hear you say it, too. And Rich Migliori and I touched on it minutes ago before you joined us, and I completely agree that the fact that you were dealing with that racetrack that had taken 7 inches of rain over the previous 5 days and you know, the state of it, just a complete quagmire, I'm hard-pressed to understand the eagerness, and given his duel with the Derby runner-up and the two-year-old champion, it's a little hard to fathom how that performance could be criticized. That has been a little strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he had never had horses on his outside, really, in a race, and you know, he had always been able to open a cushion, you know, on the far turn of the Derby and in his previous races as well, where, you know, he was able to assert his authority in a sense. But he was in a dogfight from the start and all the way to the wire. So, yeah, I mean, I got to give him credit for it.
Who else in there, as we look now to Belmont and you begin to focus in, we'll have a field Tuesday, and Bravazo, of course, I thought the beneficiary, the way things turned out, Tenfold should probably have been second in there. He ran into some issues with Diamond King that inhibited him. But the pair coming forward and Tenfold, a little bit of a different track, being a Preakness Belmont participant, Bravazo in all three races. Then we look to, you know, horses like Vino Rosso and Hofburg, of course. A pecking order, James, from you coming into Tuesday's draw.
Well, I'll say this. You know, one thing about taking a closer look at those horses this week, Blended Citizen has definitely moved up in my mind here of late, going back and watching his races, his last three or four races. And it's really remarkable that he is going to be an 11-horse Belmont Stakes field, the only horse in the race that has a race over the track. And to me, that Peter Pan was on a funky track. It was raining off and on again all day, Steve. I think it was classified as fast, like a race before the Peter Pan, and then was good that race. And I just, you know, he showed good tactical speed, I thought, racing within like three lengths of the lead. He did look like he was in trouble a little bit on the far turn, but once again, he has that kick where I really think he's got a turn of foot where he's going to be able to, if in position, possibly offer the best finish of the other of Justify's rivals in the field. I definitely respect Hofburg as well. I see him as probably being the second choice in the betting. One thing about the race itself is it's just a little bit like, you know, with Blended Citizen and Hofburg and others, is where are they going to be in the early going? And to me, I mean, when Restoring Hope was added to the field, Baffert was talking about, hey, perhaps he'll be a pace setter for Justify. And Noble Indy, you know, he's going to be without blinkers, but he has speed. But to me, if you're sending Justify to the lead, the last thing you're going to do is announce your plans beforehand. And to me, you know, just looking at American Pharoah in that race there, everybody knew American Pharoah could sit off the lead. He had done it in the Derby, but getting a comfortable early lead on this pack really, I thought, you know, benefited them. I mean, there was no way they were running by him after, like, the opening half mile of that race in 2015. And it, to me, Justifies in that same boat. I mean, if he's drawn inside Restoring Hope, there's no way that Restoring Hope's going to cross over in front of him. But, you know, Mike Smith is even if he's in the inside half of the field, and regardless of post, it's possible in my mind. I just don't see a lot of speed in the race, and he could send from the gate. So horses like Hofburg, Blended Citizen, Vino Rosso, and others are going to need to, you know, not be too far back in the early stages to have any chance.
It is Epsom Oaks Day, Derby tomorrow. But on the international front, what's your take on the three possible, or at least the two known, or one known quantity to an extent when it comes to Gronkowski, Seahenge, who we've gotten a look at, and Bandua, who is still uncertain to participate?
I mean, it would be remarkable if Bandua was in the field. I was stunned to learn that one of his races, they didn't have a starting gate. They started it from a rope because the ground was so heavy. So, you know, that horse just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, Gronkowski appears to be training well, but he's really untested too. He was running in, like, races that weren't even, like, stakes races, I don't think, you know, like overnight events or something. And, you know, I'm not viewing any of those three as viable, even in the, you know, top three contenders.
Fair enough. One horse that hasn't come up, and I'm going to ask him because you've had the chance to watch him with the Free Drop Billy, and it's Jermaine because his brother, 5-year-old Hawkbill, runs in about half an hour in the Coronation Cup.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I've seen where people have compared Free Drop Billy's action to Hawkbill. I mean, I think it's been a popular refrain that a lot of people are looking forward to the potential of him being on the turf eventually himself. big high stepper. You know, he had a brisk gallop yesterday and got all hot and sweaty. And, you know, I can understand why the connections. He still is a grade one winning, you know, 2 year old on dirt, why they give it a go. But, you know, I think they should redirect him towards a race like the Secretariat after the Belmont Stakes. And I just, it's hard for me to see him really being a factor.
Well, I don't know. I look at the record. I don't think of him as a win candidate, but I certainly look at what Dale Romans has done in this race.
One thing about him, and he, you know, he's one of the most experienced members of the field. There's a big contrast in experience between like Bravazo, who has 10 starts, and Blended Citizen has 10 starts, and Free Drops run 9 times. You know, that could be some kind of advantage, perhaps. But, you know, and the one thing with Tenfold is, you know, I just wonder, you know, I think he looked really good on the track as well. I mean, he's got that, like, upward mobility. I don't know whether he can take another step forward off of the Preakness, but if he does in his third stakes attempt, then, yeah, he's a definite, like, top three candidate. But it's still a big ask, you know, to me to keep moving forward off of a hard race like that with a real lightly raced colt like Tenfold.
Well, James, before we wrap, let's get a couple of ideas about the weekend. There's a terrific card. You're going to talk to Marty McGee next. A terrific card today. And then again tomorrow, the Churchill Penn National has got the terrific Penn Mile slate. But these 2 days at Churchill, really good. And sorry that the not haven't heard anything yet weather-wise or turf-wise, but it's too bad if it's going to be an issue. Some thoughts about the weekend, some plays?
Yeah, well, I took a look at that Penn Mile, and it's a solid field. You know, Hawkish is interesting. Marad and Therapist are contenders, but you know, that number 8, he's bankable. I mean, he's stepping up in good form off back-to-back stake wins for Mark Cassidy. And with little speed in the field, if he gets the right trip with Tyler Gaglione, got a chance to steal it. You know, he's a horse I might, you know, I'm interested in a little bit in that Penn Mile. And with Churchill, I mean, it's going to be sunny. I mean, it's supposed to be dry the rest of today and sunny tomorrow. So I think they'll be off the turf today and on it tomorrow. And the 9th race features the return of Solomini, and he's got declining speed ratings in all 3 of his starts this year. He shows some fast works on paper, but, you know, he's the type of horse I like to bet against. And there's several like last out maiden winners in that race, and that Mr. Freeze to me really caught the eye when he won at Keeneland, and but looks like he's training well to me for this first stakes debut. I mean, for his first start against winners, and I'm going to give him the edge in there.
Very good, and they are off the turf today at Churchill, and for now the surface listed as muddy to get the day started. So ideally dries out as the morning turns into the afternoon. James, any final decisions? Are we going to see you and or Ed next week?
No, I don't think so. Maybe Ed. I don't think I'll be there, but you know, I'm looking forward. I mean, what a great card it's going to be on the undercard. Always Belmont Stakes Day, you know, a Triple Crown on the line just makes it more special. But it's going to be a great day of racing and, you know, exciting buildup to it this year.
Well, three good days, and they'll draw the Thursday card on Saturday, the Friday card on Sunday, and then Belmont Saturday's card drawn on Tuesday, including the 5:30 draw at Citi Field on hand for the Metropolitans and the Orioles. James Scully, have a great weekend. Follow James_Scully111. I appreciate it. Read James's work, of course, at the Twin Spires blog. Roll. Talk next week.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great weekend yourself.
Thanks, buddy. Let's take a break. And skies are actually here in New York. Looks like the rain is behind us. And considering that we don't race for 5.5 hours, 5 hours and 15 minutes, 3 o'clock Twilight Post, if that's the last of the rain and things brighten up, might be okay this afternoon. Let's take a break and come back. We'll check in with Marty McGee. We'll go through these 2 days of racing at Churchill. I want to hit a few high notes with you, including beyond the Oaks Fillies today. Tomorrow in that fifth race, the debut of Aw Emma. Steve Asmussen, Mr. Horton, Willis Horton, this was the $2 million weanling going back to the night at Keeneland when Horton sold Take Charge Brandy for $6 million, which enabled him to pay $2 million for this one. The fact of the Warfront filly. Out of Awesome Maria, makes the debut tomorrow. So take note of that and much more to talk about. Marty McGee next at the races. We're live at Belmont. Just had confluence of Todd Pletcher heading west and Shug McGahee heading east. Quiet morning here, though, with the weather. And Dave Grenning will swing by. We'll get some comments from him via Todd. Regarding the works this morning earlier over a muddy training track. They were going to work Vino Rosso and Noble Indy on the main, but they ended up staying over at the training track. Back after this, DRF McGee.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888. 938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One scotch, One bourbon, one beer, one scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Please, Mr. Bartender, listen here. I ain't here for trouble and have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
There it is, the Marty McGee theme song.
I don't want soda, no.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Marty, good morning.
Bick, you know I don't like scotch, Bick. It's tough to swallow that stuff.
What about the bourbon?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. So we'll make it two bourbons and a beer. A double. I love it. Well, you got a double header, Mart, coming up today and tomorrow. I know you're off the turf today, but you alerted me to that Friday card yesterday when you noted the Oaks fillies that are going to line up in the fifth race today.
Yeah, we got three of the also-rans, but they're, you know, when you say also-rans, that connotes that they're, you know, not very good, but they are. You know, you got Rhea, who was held in really high regard prior to the Oaks, and she lost the race in like a matter of a second. And you got the Brett Calhoun filly, Classy Act, who's got to have some good races ahead of her. And then Brad Cox is real high on Kelly's Humor. Not necessarily named for my daughter, Kelly, but he thinks she's a real versatile kind of horse. It'll be an interesting race today. It's the fifth race. We got four allowance today. You alerted me to the fact right now that we're off the turf. I hadn't really been paying attention. I've been writing here about good old Justify training this morning. But, yeah, there's four. I think the other races, five, six, eight, and nine, something like that. And, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, if you want, about the what they're doing with the single six here tomorrow night.
I do want to talk about it. And you noted the ninth race among those coming off the grass, the sixth, which was a turf sprint, and a first-level allowance that had a handful of nice fillies and mares. And that nightcap included, you know, some stake-type horses like Saham for Brendan Walsh and Super Tappet, Mrs. Weber, and Cassie. So we'll see how that gets carved up. Before we talk about the Saturday card and the reference to Justify's training, we talked last week and got back to the track. The Tuesday workout, Marty, absolutely terrific. Talked to Baffert about 2.5 hours later. Some thoughts as you continue to watch Justify, Free Drop Billy, Bravazo, Tenfold, prepare for the Belmont Stakes.
Well, I mean, Justify, he's just doing so good from every metric, as they say, particularly how his connections, i.e. Baffert and Jimmy Barnes and Elliot Walden, how they're all reacting to how he's doing. It's pretty incredible, really, how this horse is just onward and upward with him, you know. And so this morning he, he comes onto that 5.5 furlong gap and he took a right. So to me right then, I didn't know what he was going to do. So he went right over the gate, stood there less than a minute. You know, he's really a good gate horse. And then they got him out and he galloped around only about 3/4. The track was sealed this morning. They went around with the tractors twice, really kind of packed it down real good for him. And so Timmy just had him gallop about 3/4 after that schooling session, and he came back, and Elliot was jovial. Baffert, of course, wasn't there. He's flying back Sunday, and he'll be here for the Monday breeze. And I asked Elliot, you know, what's he going to do breeze-wise Monday morning? And he said, you know, I would imagine it won't be as fast and as serious. Maybe it'll break him off a little later, maybe into the turn or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll just blow him out down the lane. It's, you know, for all intents and purposes, Steve, it's just a matter of, like they say, keeping him happy and healthy and out of harm's way. So All good here. Yesterday, Wayne Lucas really pleased with Bravazo's breeze. He went a mile in 142 and change, and it was, you know, it was real workmanlike. And it's, Wayne was laughing afterwards, saying that how the exercise girl Daniel Rozier was pretty nervous before, you know, because it's, you know, it's the only work the horse is going to have between the Preakness and the Belmont. He says, "Look, we're not trying to win the Nobel Prize here. We're not trying to save lives." So it was just a. Yeah, that's the way Wayne does it. And then, yeah, I had a quote in my story of from him where he said, you know, I've had some pretty good luck with this kind of move, i.e. a one-mile work, the only work between the Preakness and the Belmont. And our archives are such that we couldn't go back and document, is this exactly what he did with Sebastopol Cat and Thunder Gulch? Did he work him 1 mile, work them 1 mile between you know, the only work, and we couldn't find that. So, one of my editors made me take the quote out because we couldn't substantiate it, which, you know, oh well. But, you know, he's happy with that. And then tomorrow, Tenfold will breathe. Steve Asmussen has not been here the last couple of mornings, but he's supposed to breathe tomorrow. He looks good in his training. He was around the galloping real strong this morning. So, as you would expect, I mean, it, you know, we sometimes these platitudes are expressed like, there's something outside the norm, but these are the best three-year-olds you've got right now. So, yeah, they all seem to be doing really well.
You know, a quick aside on Danielle Rozier. You know, watched her handling Bravazo. Related to Chris Rozier?
I think it might be his ex-wife. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But she also has a footnote in Churchill history on the last race of the last day. She had a number four. She's a trainer, or has been. She had a number 14 horse who ended the single six. I think it was 2 years ago. And the horse won, went wire to wire, and it had acted up and delayed the start and everything else. So, and she was the trainer of that horse. I can't remember the horse's name. I'll text it to you later. But it was really an odd thing, and it just, you know, kind of went away. We all went to Ellis Park or whatever. and that was the end of it. But yeah, it was really kind of it was one of those single six things that was a mandatory, and so it had to be paid out. So there's a lot of money in the pool, and a bunch of chalk won. And then this horse was like, I don't know, 13-1 or something.
Well,
I've never heard from horse since then, or her.
Well, on that topic, talk about this interesting Saturday potential. Not a complete force out of the jackpot six, but potentially a partial force out. Explain what's going on.
Well, it's kind of smart, really. I mean, because after the Derby, we had, what, 385 that they forced out and 385 they left to seed. And now it's like up to 685. After today, it'll be 700 or so. And they're going to take 300 of that tomorrow, assuming it doesn't get swept today, which it probably won't with the races off the turf, and make that a force out. You know, when you have the force out, it draws a considerable handle. I think after the Thursday after the Derby, they got like 1.8 or something, 1.8 million. So I didn't know it was coming. The release came yesterday around 4 o'clock out of the blue, and. So the other interesting aspect of this, Steve, is that the single six, and I'm talking about tomorrow for the Downs After Dark card, races 10 and 11 are the stakes. They're not part of it. They're making the single six races 4 through 9. So with the 300 mandatory, I imagine they'll get more than $1 million in handle on it. And, you know, it's pretty smart marketing, if you ask me. And then whatever's left, it'll be close to 400 from today, will quote-unquote seed or remain for Sunday, and we'll go forward from there. And we still got another, you know, close to three or four weeks left in the meet after that.
Excellent. All right. That gives us the perfect segue into Saturday. And the help comes from so many different parts of the racing universe. The horse, Marty, was Folded Wings.
Okay, yeah. And what
folded
odds
wigs.
Yeah. And it was number 14. It drew off the AEs into the last race of the last day. Or it might not have been the last race, but it was the last race of the jackpot single six that. And I'm almost sure it was the first year they ever had it in this form that they have it now.
Well, and in addition, it was not Chris Rozier, but it was Charlie Rozier, Chris's brother that she was married to.
There you go.
All questions get answered here. all your backstretch drama.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking and you've been Googling. So
No. This comes from the resourceful fourth floor to the helpful clocker staff that we thank John Nichols for the information. Got to go back now to the group of races, Mart, and you mentioned races 4 through 9 as part of the jackpot, and I brought up that maiden special going a mile and a 16th on the turf tomorrow that includes the $2 million Willis Horton, Steve Asmussen, Emma.
Yeah, and, you know, usually, and you would agree with this, I'm sure, when they start a horse up first time going long, it means the horse isn't real fast. But that doesn't mean that the horse won't have, you know, ultimately some redeeming qualities. But, you know, just you would think that Steve would have started out this filly, you know, his MO is to start him out going short. So I don't know how fast he's going to be. Maybe he just saw, you know, the war front and said, what the heck, let's just skip all the preliminaries and go on and put her going long on the third first time out. But, I mean, it looks like a pretty easy spot in there, except for maybe the Cox filly, the four-year-old Caput named Pachinko for Judmont. But otherwise, it looks like it's a $2 million purchase. All Emma did get a pretty good spot for her debut.
Agreed. And Pachinko, the Tappet filly, the homebred by Judmont, absolutely the other obvious player. And one thing that I will note, the last work for Aw Emma, a very un-Asmussen-like near bullet of 59-3. So after some stamina building works, including a 6-furlong drill on May 11th, the filly comes back and he puts a little speed into her. So just this is an interesting story because it goes back to the night at Keeneland when Take Charge Brandy sold for $6 million and Mr. Horton peeled off $2 million of it to buy this weanling. So watching for this debut. Let's talk about some of the other spots. And the Aristides, of course, is the graded stake. Now, there's also the Mighty Bow. And it made me smile to see Mighty Bow. Yeah, this is the third running. Do you remember him?
Yeah, it was Bob Holtis, was it not? Or was it Brandy Morris?
No, this was a horse that was passed all over the place. Randy Morse had his hands on him and quite a bit. Mullins as well. He amassed $600,000 in earnings and won 12 times.
Yeah,
turf sprinter.
He ran around here quite a bit. I thought it was Bob Holtis early, but maybe I might be confusing him with something else. Randy had him for a guy named Randy Patterson. I'm not sure.
Well, that's one of his, you know, certainly Patterson, longtime association. He did win the Churchill Downs Turf Sprint back in 05. Mighty Bow, this makes me laugh. Mighty Bow comes from the Oklahoma breeding program. Lady Secret, of course, the engine on that train with Clever Trevor and Kip DeVille. Where did Mighty Bow break his maiden?
I'm going to guess either Will Rogers or Fair Meadows, Tulsa.
Fair Meadows is correct. Look at you. And that that leads to me having to remind everybody, if they're not aware, racing returns to Tulsa next week, next Thursday, June 7th till July 28th, the Fair Meadows live meet. And on Belmont Day, there is a big giveaway, the Chapstick, the Fair Meadows Chapstick giveaway. The first 250 people through the gates. So
of
a little
course.
Push.
Of course they're happening.
If you've never been to Expo Square, Fair Meadows.
I really would. I always wanted to go to Blue Ribbon, but then it closed before I could get there.
Now, this is a one of those meets that has everything. It's got thoroughbreds. It's got quarter horses. It's got paint. There's the paint derby at some point. That where you can claim the paint derby winner right out of the race. It's Got Country Grip with the great paint. You got a winner for that race, Mark? The Mighty Bow? And
yeah, Morticia's going to scratch.
She's going to run in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so there's not a lot. You know, the two obvious horses in here are both like left field, 5 furlong closers. Long on Value making his first start for Cox, and then the venerable popular Hoagie. Whoever gets first run and gets a better trip, I guess, is going to win. There's you know, the other horses seem like they're overmatched in there. So, you know, again, this is, you're going to have to make this the last leg of your pick 5 or pick 4 or pick 3, because again, races 10 and 11 are not part tomorrow night of the single six.
The Aristides came up okay. 7 of them.
It did. There might be a scratch in there. Wilbo, he's 9-5 on the morning line. Chris Hartman told me yesterday that he said, I don't want to, you know, talk out of turn here, but he said he might have a little something wrong with him. So, and I didn't have a chance to talk to him this morning. He says he was something. So if you scratch him, it looks like your favorites are Mr. Crow, who's really kind of a tough gauge, but Ben Colbrick's been pretty straight up about him, said before his last race on Derby Week, he's going to need this race. Nonetheless, the horse won. You know, he's got those gaudy Pletcher buyers to go back to when he was a 3-year-old last year. And then the outside horse, Chief Cicatriz, who his trainer, Sean Davis, really an interesting story. I called him yesterday and talked to him about his background. He's the former director of the National Finals Rodeo out in Las Vegas, and he's been all over Montana, Idaho, California. He's been best friends with Carl Nassar for years. He's in the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, 77 years old. He was driving down yesterday from Minnesota to be here, and he said to me, I really wish this horse had been as fit on Derby Day as he is now. So if you look at his form, it was 3 months between races, between him winning the Phoenix Gold Cup and running a decent fifth in the slop in the Churchill Downs, the grade two. So I think with the open air outside box and a forward trip, he's going to be a major player tomorrow. That's number 7, Chief Cicatriz, at the witching hour of 10:42 Eastern, which is when they will run the 10th race tomorrow night. And the last race goes at 11:11, race 11 at 11:11 Eastern here at Churchill on Saturday, the Downs After Dark card.
And before we go, Mark, the 9th race, in that sequence that goes off at 10:11, you do have Mississippi and Solomini both potentially coming in. They come in as an entry because of the Coolmore overlap on the ownership. But, you know, Ian Wilkes, that Fort Peck, is not to be completely dismissed among the two.
Yeah, you got 3-5 on the entry. I don't know what they would be separately. I guess the 3-5 is mostly because of Solomini. You know, he's got all that, those good races on his back for him. So, Fort Peck was a real nice winner last time out. Got a very competitive buyer, you know, in terms of matching up with these horses. Tiz Mischief, who has been quite the disappointment since getting beat in a photo here last fall in the Kentucky Jockey Club. He's also in the lineup. Going turf to dirt off a dismal effort in the American turf. So, interesting set of races here yesterday and today, and, of course, tomorrow night for the for Downs After Dark.
DRF McGee, everybody, and a really good couple of days of racing at Churchill Downs. And Mart will continue to monitor the progress of Justify and everybody else before they make their way to New York next Tuesday and Wednesday. Mart, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, buddy. Thanks.
Marty McGee, let's take a break. When we come back, Jay Privman joins us, DRF Privman, and we'll get the latest on the Belmont field, talk about maybe the little the international contingent. Plus, I want Jay to talk about Dark Horses, the documentary that he participated in, and we'll find out a little bit about that. It's about to debut. We're live at Belmont. Skies are lightening a little bit. Hopeful that we can make it through a weekend without rotten weather. Back after this, dead ahead as well, James Dunleavy. We'll talk about Penn National with him, Ed DeRosa, Rick Amerley, and Dave Grenick. Weekend preview at the races continues, SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire. Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. GAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.